I love this time of year, don't you? You know, one of the things I like about this time of year is it's often a time that we get a little break from routine, a little bit of time off, if you will. I was reminded at one of the family get-togethers that we had when we were in Texas. My aunt was talking to another family member and was talking about her plans for the... She's a school teacher and was talking about the plans for the rest of her time off, and she was talking about... She was looking very much forward to the day that she was calling her pajama day, the day she had set aside. She was going to stay in her pajamas and she was going to read her books and she was going to sip her hot chocolate and just stay in and cozy and enjoy that day off. And that is always enjoyable, to get to find that extra time during this time of year. But you know, for some, little extra time off can be a difficulty. Because very quickly, that extra time never seems to always live up to what we think it would live up to. People today talk about living for the weekend. They're working the week and they're looking forward to the weekend that'll come so they can have that time off. And the weekend comes and it never lasts long enough. It never fully satisfies. Here as we approach the end of the year, I think it's appropriate that we pause and we think about our time. How we use our time and what time is for and what God has given us this time for. And so I want to reflect with you from one passage of Scripture in the book of Colossians this morning about the time that God has given us, and encourage you with one application point about how we ought to use our time. It's not the only way we ought to use our time, but it's one way in which the Scriptures admonish us to use our time. And I think it is a useful way to use our time in 2018. The passage today comes from Colossians chapter 4. Would you stand as we look at Scripture today and read from it and hear what God has for us? Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Or we could literally say that as redeem the time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would help us to redeem the time that we have. Help us to make use of it in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. Help us to make use of it in a way that you have purposed us for. Lord, as we close out this year, we ask that you would guide us forward from here. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first thing I want us to consider from this passage, in verse 5, that we to be wise in the way we ought to act to outsiders and to redeem the time, is to realize that we are living on borrowed time. Our time is not our own, is it? In fact, God has designed and made this world. He has given it to us as a good gift. And every breath, every moment that we have is a good gift from our good God. You know, the world would have us to see and to believe that there is nothing more than this life, that we have come here by really happenstance and chance, that things just happen to luck out in our favor, that we could come and we could be here, and that this time is all that there is, and so that we ought to make the best use of it as we can. We ought to have the most fun that we can for this time, and that we ought to live life to the fullest. And then after this, there is nothing more to look forward to. And we're just a momentary blip in the annals of history. But God says there's something more. He's given us time, and He's given us eternity. He's given meaning and purpose into our time. He's given it substance and usefulness. We're not a momentary blip. We're not a random chance of occurrence in cells and things that have just happened to come about. We are individuals with meaning. We're here for a reason. And God has placed us here for His own purposes. Indeed, it was God Himself who not only created the universe in which we live and made it good and formed and fashioned us and placed His creation of human beings into it, but it was God Himself who came into time. You see, God had to come into time because we had made bad use of our time. Mankind had turned away from God. Mankind had rebelled against Him. And each one of us have, in our own ways, rebelled against the Lord. And because of that, we stood separated. Because of that, we reaped our own repercussions of brokenness in this world. We've all faced our brokenness. the heartache, the sorrow, the loneliness, the pain, the wrong desires, the addictions, the suffering, the calamities. All that brokenness is working into the world because of our sin and rebellion against our good God. But God has come into time to redeem our time, to save us from our own sin and from our own brokenness. You see, He sent His Son into the world to save us. Jesus Christ came into the world and lived a life without the brokenness that you and I experience. Never once did He turn away from God's intention and purpose for His life. Never once did He encounter or make action upon the temptations that each of us face. He lived a life perfect without sin. And He went to a cross. And there He died, the death of a criminal. But that death was more than the death of a criminal. It was the death of a sacrifice. The death of one in the place of another. You see, the sacrifices of old were a picture of what Christ was to be. The sacrifice was a picture of that animal taking on itself what we deserve because of our sin and our brokenness. You see, in Jesus Christ, He took that sin and brokenness on Himself. And He died in our place. And He died so that our sin and our brokenness could be dealt with. But more than that, He did not stay dead. You see, Jesus Christ was not conquered by our sin and our brokenness. He defeated our sin and our brokenness by rising again on the third day. And that's good news, my friend. That's good news because He has redeemed our time. Rather than living a life of utter fruitlessness, of utter travesty, of uselessness, awaiting our ultimate destruction and separation and isolation from God, He redeemed our time so that we can be brought back to God, so that the image of God He put in us could be renewed and restored, and that we could pursue what He desires for our life. My friend, that is good news. Rather than idling away our life with the sad reality that this is all that there is, that it'll be worthwhile and only misery awaits, we have the sure hope of a renewed relationship with our Lord, with our Savior, if we would but trust in Him and repent of our sins. My friend, that is good news. And it's a profound truth for all those who trust in Him. It means that as long as we are alive, God has a purpose for our life. As long as we have breath in our nostrils, God is using us in some way for His purposes. And so the Psalms say, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number them rightly and to understand what we are here for and how we ought to use our life. Ecclesiastes talks about the reality that there's a purpose and a place for everything under the sun. There's a time for everything, a time for life and death, a time for planting and a time for sowing. And so, Lord, we ask today, what is it You would have us to do with our life? As we look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we see one thing that God would have us to do. There are many other things that we can look at and consider, but one thing that is pointed out here in this passage for us to consider today. In verse 5, it calls us to be wise in the way we act toward outsiders, and so redeem the time. My friend, we do not waste our time when we share the good news with those around us, with our life, with our testimony. In fact, consider this. Why were you born in this time and in this place? Why do you live here where you do? I mean, why were you not born in like 14th century France? Why were you not born in 2nd century Rome? Why were you born in America and not India? Why did God place you here? We have that answer. In the book of Acts, Paul is preaching to unbelievers. And he touches on that very issue. In the book of Acts 17, we read, God Himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, He made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. Three things I want you to notice here. First of all, I want you to notice God puts you in the place and the time that you live in. God designed that and God purposed that for your life. God had an intention about you being here today. God had an intention about you living in central Illinois. God had an intention about you living in America. God had an intention about you living in 2017 going into 2018. God placed you here for His plan and purpose. It wasn't happenstance or chance or random accident. You're here for a reason. Secondly, I want you to notice that God placed you here for evangelistic reasons. God placed you here so that you would seek Him. I think it's true that God has so worked the universe and orchestrated the universe that every person has the highest probability that they will trust in Christ in the place and time that they are placed in. I think God in His infinite wisdom has worked all those things according to His will. In other words, the reason you're a believer is because God was before time orchestrating things that you would live in a time and a place that you would hear the gospel, that you would be receptive to it, that you would trust in it. Had you been born somewhere else, to someone else, in another time, in another place, it may not have been so. So we can thank God for His grace and His mercy. We can see God's purpose and intention in spreading His good news, even in how He orchestrates our lives. But also I want you to see, number three, that God did this not just for you, but He's done this for everyone. He does it for others. So why is that coworker who really gets under your skin next to you? Why is that family member who doesn't seem to have it together in their life in your family? Why is it that your neighbor who lets the leaves blow into your yard, why are they upwind from you? God has placed them there for evangelistic reasons, for His purpose. And it might just be that God would have you be the one through whom the gospel goes forth into their life. It's not an accident. It's not happenstance. It's a good gift from God. You see, God is working in their lives too, to draw Him to Himself. God did this, the Scripture says, that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not very far from any one of us. So even that neighbor or that family member who seems so far from God, oh, they're not but a moment away. They would turn to Him. Remember Paul. He's on the way to murder Christians in Damascus. In a moment, everything's changed. And so it may be for those in our lives as well. When I was a trainer in Texas at a bank, one of the things I trained on very frequently was robbery training. Banks sometimes get held up. And so we had to train about what to do in the case that someone came in, presented a note, presented a gun, demanded money, and how do you respond to that situation? And one of the things that we train all the tellers especially on is the innate response that you will have in that moment. Your body will respond with chemicals that go to your brain that will make you want to act in really stupid ways. And so there's three ways that your body will want to initially react. The first way is to fight. You see that person come in and your first instinct may to be the hero of the moment, to jump over that counter, to wrestle them to the ground, to steal the gun and to be the hero and the champion and to fight them to overcome them in that moment. That's a really bad idea. We encouraged our tellers not to do that because that it may look great in the movies. And that the hero could do all these things in just a moment of time and all that, but you're not the hero. The second way your innate response, your body will respond, will be to flee, to run. So your innate response will be when that person, that note is presented, that gun is presented, will be to just get out of there, to run in that moment and to flee and to hide and to duck and to you'll just be terrified and you'll want to get away. And that, too, was not a very wise response to act in that moment. And the third way your body will tell you to respond is you'll just be so overcome by the rush of adrenaline and excitement and things that are going on that you just don't know what to do. And you'll just stand there with a kind of your mouth a drool and flabbergasted and unable to do anything. You'll freeze, is what we would tell them. And when we would train them on this, what we would tell them to do is you'll want to fight or flee or freeze, but you can't do any of those. Though everything in your body will be telling you to do one of those, you can't do any of those or you'll wind up dead. You have to act differently. You know, I think it's true for us too when we go to share the gospel with others. When we have that opportunity to share the gospel with our neighbor or coworker or our friend, I think a little bit of that adrenaline gets into our system in the moment, and we have some of the same responses. For some of us, we have a response when we encounter an unbeliever, a fight. We have that response that somewhat looks down on them and says, boy, they make really bad decisions with their life. Why would they do that? And we almost put up a hostile approach. We want to keep them at arm's length and keep them away from us. Some of us, when we encounter an unbeliever, we want to kind of get away. We want to stay away from them. And so maybe we kind of keep away from the unbelievers in our life. We don't know what to say to them, and so we just stay away from them because we're scared. And for some of us, we freeze. We have maybe a moment to share the gospel, and we freeze up, and the moment passes. And we don't redeem the time because we just don't know what to say or what to do, or we're afraid we'll say the wrong thing and mess everything up. My friend, I want to encourage you today, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can't do any of those things. The Scriptures calls us to be wise toward outsiders and to make the most of every opportunity. He goes on to say in verse 6, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That doesn't mean you have all the answers, by the way. That's not what he's saying. But that you know how to be courteous and kind and gracious in your conversation. And how you are able to say, you know what, I don't really know the answer to that really interesting question. But I can research it. You want to research it with me? My friend, the Lord calls us to make the most of the opportunity with the unbelievers that we encounter. Let's not fight. Let's not run away. Let's not freeze up. Let us go to them in grace and love. Our Lord redeemed the time by coming into this world for us. Let us be faithful in 2018 to go to them as Christ has come to us. And to share the good news. We do have good news, don't we? We do have something marvelous to say. We do have the freedom from their sin and their own brokenness. What a wonderful thing to tell. Let's not keep it to ourselves in 2018. Let us be a community of believers that just overflows and bubbles up with the good news, ready to share it with all those that we encounter. In 2018, we've already been announcing there's some opportunities for you. beginning next Sunday, we're going to have evangelism training. If you're one of those, and I think many of us fall in this category that maybe tends toward the freezing up, that you don't know what to say or you're worried about getting things right, that's for you. It's going to be an awesome opportunity. It's we're telling it and calling it a training because it is a training. It's not a Bible study where we're going to get into the Bible and see why do we need to evangelize and how did Jesus do it and all that. No, we're just going to jump in and we're going to practice evangelizing each other. We're going to share the gospel with each other in class. And that'll be a lot of the opportunity. And so if you're someone who would like a little bit of practice in that area, build a little bit of confidence to share the gospel with unbelievers, please, please, please consider being a part of that evangelism training. In 2018, we're going to be talking a lot about gospel conversations, having a gospel conversation with your neighbor, your family member, your coworker, your friend, the person you see at breakfast or whatever. And a gospel conversation is simply a conversation in which Jesus comes up in some way, shape, fashion, or form. And it may be big. It may be a 30-minute detailed presentation of the gospel, or it may just be a simple, how can I pray for you today? Those will be gospel conversations. We're going to have other opportunities as the year progresses, and so I pray that you'll take advantage of them. My friend, let us redeem the time as Christ calls us to. In 2018, let one of the ways we use our time be to share the good news with those who do not have it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be faithful to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to those around us. Lord, there are millions in this state alone who do not know Jesus Christ. There are hundreds in this community alone who do not know Jesus Christ. Lord, we often think of ourselves as a well-evangelized community, but Lord, there are so many who do not know You. So many in our lives that You have brought into our lives for a purpose and for a reason. May we be faithful to go and to share and to communicate the good news. May all glory go to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.